Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Emails, idea@wretched.org. Text 877-282-2337. Go ahead, Jimmy. Bring it on. All of the negative comments from our Martin Luther King theology examination. Go ahead.
We've only got an hour.
We didn't get any.
No, we did not.
It's amazing. And I'm looking at the comments on the YouTube machine. I love Christian chat. I love it when Christians engage and it's godly. Even when you disagree with stuff, I just love seeing that. Please, we welcome critique. Please, bring it. In this instance, we didn't see any from the Martin Luther. Virgil Walker from G3 joined us on Monday night. Zoink, Scoob. Yeah. On Monday night, and he laid out the essential theologies of Martin Luther King Jr., not the secondary and tertiary level stuff, but the primary theologies, the virgin birth, original sin, the divinity of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, you know, kind of the big stuff. And it is well documented that Martin Luther King Jr. was outside of orthodoxy on all of those theologies. And he's so beloved, I was kind of expecting, oh boy, batting the hatches. But the comments so gracious, even when you disagree, love it. Because I was so hesitant to open up comments on YouTube, and okay, once in a while, but overall, just thank you. Feel free to criticize, whatever, comments, conundrums, anything you want that's wretched to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a Lulu from Lisette. She texted in, Todd, my husband is Catholic, but I am not. We have two girls, and I've been attending a four-square church with them for a long time now. They seem to like it, but recently my husband decided to start taking them to his church so they can experience it. The girls do not want to go with him, so he told them that if they don't go with him, they can't go with me either. Mm. The girls then ask me to go to church with them, to his church. It's a Latin mass, by the way.
Wow.
I came up with the idea and asked my husband if we could go to church as a family on Sundays to his church and then go to mine after. I'm not sure if this was a good idea. Can you give me some advice?
This may or may not work, but I have perhaps an out-of-the-box solution. How's about you visit founders.org/church-search or use the search engine for a church at tms.edu or at Nine Marks Ministries. You find one close to you and say to your husband, okay, tell you what, instead of going to yours or mine, let's go to this Bible teaching church and see if we can find a new home where we're both happy. That could be really good, because I agree with you. It is problematic for the kids and for you to be going to the Roman Catholic services. The good news is it probably won't do tons of oral damage, because who understands a Latin mass? However, I would also say that your four-square church, I think you can find a more biblical home. And this might be a way for you to do that. So my encouragement wouldn't be either or, but another option. And you can find that at founders.org/church-search. tms.edu. You got to work a little harder there to find pastors around the country that are pastoring churches. Nine Marks Ministries is another good resource for finding churches that teach the Bible, which is exactly what you want the kids to know. Having said that, I might also encourage you, do your best without doing it in a way that's kind of trying to undermine your husband, but teach your kids as much gospel truth as you can. You've got lots of opportunities during the day when you're driving around, you're doing stuff. Like I said, don't make it like you're being subversive, but you've got plenty of opportunities and you can explain to them, here's why mommy and daddy are having a difference of opinion. You go to that church, and even though you can't understand a word of it, what they're saying is we have to do all kinds of things to make ourselves right to be with God. That's called work righteousness, where our works gain God's favor. But I want to go to a church that just teaches the Bible and grace alone, faith alone, that all of your sins can be forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Then you do works, but you don't do works to get forgiven. You get works because you are forgiven. You do works because you are forgiven. That's the difference of opinion. And then keep reinforcing it with grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I think that's a really good solution because, you know, they've got to model unity to their children.
It's going to be tough.
And doing it in a third place instead of saying we're choosing this over this or this over that, let's find something we can all go to.
Which I think, honestly, if you find a Bible teaching church, it will be better for everybody involved in this. Let this perhaps serve as a lesson if you're younger and you're thinking about compromising when it comes to marrying somebody. Young people that are thinking, they'll ask the question, well, we've got some differences in our theology. How far apart can we be? Well, I would say Protestant and Catholic would be apart. You just can't, because this is what's going to happen. Now, I also think that there are some secondary issues that just make it hard to get along. Are we going to go where they baptize babies or not? And you're going to have all kinds of marital strife over it. So do your best as you are going about the business of finding a spouse. Make sure you are as equally yoked as possible. Make sure that you're on the same page with, of course, the essentials. And Catholics and Protestants are not on the same page. But make sure that you're in alignment with spiritual gifts. Are you going to go to a church with your spouse where they speak in tongues and you don't? How long is that going to last before you blow your stack? And vice versa. So get these things worked out. And don't think this is, I don't know if you've been told this yet if you're young. And believe me, I had the exact same propensity. Jimmy, I'm guessing you did too. This will resonate. That won't happen to me. If I marry somebody that we're kind of, you're like, we'll get it worked out. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. And then you go all goo-goo-eyed again. And you don't see clearly. Which is why, sorry to toss this one out too. Please utilize the wisdom of your parents. Please utilize the wisdom of your local church and elders. Don't make these big life decisions without, it's a treasure chest of wisdom just sitting there for you. Tap into it. And remember, your brain isn't fully wired to your 25. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org or 877. Do you believe that, Jimmy? That your brain supposedly aren't like, okay, everything is pretty much set now, but it's not until you're 25?
Yeah, I do. I fully believe that.
Really?
Yeah, man. There were things that just didn't make sense to me until I was
35.
Probably. That's probably true.
Well, there are some things conceptually. Brain development, I think the easiest way to identify like what that looks like is math. That, you're in seventh grade in algebra, knock, knock, it just, bing, doesn't get in there. But you get a little bit old and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can download this stuff. This stuff is starting to make sense. Well, that's brain maturation. And the same thing is true with some big life decisions. You just need some years. Yeah, and you need some maturation. Now, having said that, Jimmy, I got to tell you, as of late, I have been so impressed with the number of younger people. We had three whippersnappers come into our church. They're now off to the mission field. And I'm guessing 22, maybe something like that. Super mature. So, and we've got people in our church, these young people, man, if you're a young person and you're striving to be godly, can I just encourage you that you encourage us? You encourage so much. We had Bible study on Thursday night. And for this one, we divided the men and the women because it's two different studies. And we thought maybe then husband and wife would have something to talk about. What did you learn? Well, what did you learn? And there'd be a nice conversation. And as I'm sitting there before Mike started leading the class, in walks Cooper, 21 years old, dude. And his fiance walked into the women's Bible study. Man, it's cool to see that. And maybe it was hard for Cooper to go to Bible study. Maybe didn't feel like it, but he did because it's a good thing and it's a good thing for you. And you need to know that when you do those things, you show up to church, you volunteer, you go to the different events, you attend a Bible study. You encourage us more than you know. You really do, because we see the Lord working in you. And you're advancing, you are accelerating past your peers. All that to say, press on. I don't think you need to wait to 25 to be godly and mature. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org, or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So what's taking my brain so long? This is Wretched Radio. If it's 25 when your brain finally fully matures, when's mine going to kick in? You know, I'm over 40. When do I get to feel the fruit of a brain that's better wired? Not lying.
That's not a lie.
Not lying. Please send whatever you want to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Anonymous. Todd, is it okay for a pastor to have a full-time job in addition to his ministry? I know a couple married by a pastor that was unavailable to give them premarital counseling due to his work schedule.
Sure.
They had to find material on their own. How serious is this?
Yeah, well, let me just say this, that you... If you wish to ask your pastor to do your premarital counseling, cool. But I think you can ask any elder. Furthermore, I think you could even ask any mature couple to walk you through that. I don't think the default automatically needs to be with your pastor, whether you call it senior pastor, preaching, teaching pastor. Doesn't have to be that guy, because it's not about the office. It's about the maturity and the wisdom. So having said that, that would be, I think, an example of the cost of a pastor who's bivocational. Now, look, I think about half of pastors now have two gigs going on, because a lot of churches, they can't afford a full-time salary. So I think a pastor needs to do what a pastor needs to do. But I think the congregation needs to be understanding he's not going to be able to do as much as he could if he were full-time. And that might motivate and incent the congregation to do what they can do to support the fellow. There's nothing wrong with a pastor working two jobs, but there's got to be limitations, because it's not just marital counseling. It's the other issues in the church. It's the business of the church. And here's the biggie, the preparation of the sermon for the church. This guy is burning it at both. He's got a full-time job and he's pastoring. I can tell you that, and even then, if his kids have flown the coop and they're empty nesters, okay, then the kids aren't paying a price, but his spouse is, because it takes a long time to put together a sermon. If you're going to do it without AI or plagiarizing or buying a sermon in a box online, it just takes time. And the guy it's going to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from his marriage. So if you have a bivocational pastor, full-time, part-time, whatever the percentage is, be grateful to him. Lower your expectations for his bandwidth and what you expect him to do. You got to do it. And be encouraging his spouse, thanking her for her sacrifice. Thank her for that. Because bivocational preaching and teaching, that is a hard gig. Yep, Paul did it. Yep, but he said he didn't have to. In fact, it would be better if he didn't, but he didn't want to be seen as a money grubber. He didn't want to be looking like the other false teachers who come to town simply to cash in. So he worked full time to support himself. But I don't think that's the ideal. I think it's fine. And I think it's great. And pastor, if you're doing it, I'm telling you, and I don't mean this in a Southern snarky way, bless your heart, because it's a hard road that you are going down. So thank you for that. And we would prefer that you could be full-time in ministry and being paid where the pastor doesn't have to sweat it. You don't want your pastor straining over finances. You do not want that. You want him straining over the word. You want him smelling like the sheep. And if that guy, if he's having to pick up a side hustle and he's running around town doing deliveries with Amazon, whatever it is that he's having to do, he could spend those energies and time elsewhere. Either in his marriage, which is good, family, good, and church, very good. idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
And here is a text from JB. Todd, what do you think about secondary separation? The Bible is clear that we are to separate ourselves from false teachers, but what about a teacher who appears to have good theology, but is loosely associated with a false teacher?
Yeah, degrees of separation.
Right.
Oh, boy. If you go to the YouTube machine and look for degrees of separation, the last time we published something on this, it was with Phil Johnson. We were at the G3 conference and we were working through this. And here's the bottom line. Determining with whom you part is not easy because you can do it too soon. You can do it too late. And it's like, well, what if this happens? Well, if that happens, then this is the, and, but if, what if this happens when that happened? Well, then it's the, and what if this guy in the middle that he's connected to isn't as bad, but he's connected, degrees of separation. So for instance, I know Jimmy. Jimmy's square. Jimmy knows Stanley, and Stanley's pretty good at this theology. But Stanley's got a buddy named Larry who follows Benny Hinn. So that means Jimmy and I are parting company. That's too many degrees of separation. I think it needs to be tighter than that as a rule. I think it needs to be closer. I think Jimmy could be a friend with somebody and even affirm somebody who is maybe getting some bad teaching. It doesn't mean that Jimmy is adopting that teaching. Now, if Jimmy's affirming that bad teaching, well, but that's not a degree of separation. Then that is separation because he's adhering to it. So I think overall, it needs to be closer than further because we've seen it get ridiculous, haven't we? It's Kevin Bacon theology. He knows somebody who talked to somebody who once went to a conference and drove by a false teacher. And therefore, I'm ending my relationship with everybody. Nah, nope, don't do that. So Phil Johnson, if you watch it, and keep praying for Phil, by the way, he's in the thick of it with his health. It is a hard season right now for Phil, so please be praying for him. It was clear, and he admitted it. It's like, these things are tricky. There's nuances to them. And oftentimes, there's information we don't know, and we make a decision on separation before we maybe know the full story because we're so separated from it. But the other time that we did this was with Justin Peters. Now, is Jimmy... Mm-hmm. Would you go to fortisinstitute.org, fortisinstitute.org? And would you, I don't think that we've put Justin, I think we gave away Justin Peters for Christmas, but I don't think that we've offered it on the website, have we?
Could you
take a look because Justin Peters and I did 10, 12, something like that lectures. The resource is called Thou Shalt Judge. And he got the subject because I gave it to him. On degrees of separation, because I didn't want to take it. And so he tackled it. And I remember he said, all right, welcome to lecture 7 of Thou Shalt Judge. We're going to deal with degrees of separation. And I let out a cackle. And I just reflexively said, good luck with that. Because it can be really, really messy. It's not easy. And do we have it in the store yet?
It's available now for purchase in the
store. Oh, you can?
Yes.
Maybe we should let people know that.
Shows just that you know.
Just a thought that it's there. It's really great stuff. Justin, you know, he's awesome. And it's really helpful when it comes to the issue of discernment. We wanted to help with that and to provide some sort of a framework so we just aren't the wild, wild west in circular firing squads, indiscriminately shooting with one another, dividing with one another. We got too much division going on in small old Orthodox circles. Too much division. There is a time for it, but it should be the exception. These days, it is the rule. So if you're in, so to answer your question and completely avoid answering it, get yourself Thou Shalt Judge at fortisinstitute.org. Whew. You know what? Hey, I've got an idea. Is that sound in my thingy here, the computer system? From Thou Shalt Judge. If I don't have it now, but to share some of that from Justin, we'll do that next week. But let's make a note. We'll do that next week, and we'll talk about degrees of separation, because I think most of the time, I think people are wise, but I see mostly the error. Is that we've got somebody in our lives and we just refuse to separate when we should, or we separate from people we shouldn't. Overall, I think most are doing pretty well, but the excesses on both sides of that are pretty deep too. We'll do that perhaps next week. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
Alex is wondering, Todd, is free public education wrong?
Depends on what they're educating. It depends on what they're teaching. If you go to a school where reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're actually teaching history without some sort of CRT lens and filter, if there isn't a sexual agenda that is being foisted onto the kids, I think it's a liberty issue and parents would need to make that decision. Can't make a law where there is no law, but if it is a school that is just indoctrinating and just coming after your kids, whether it's not just the evolution now, it's like, oh, remember how charming it was when we only had to worry about evolution being taught to the kids? Now they're being taught that Billy can be Sally. Yikes. And I think every parent needs to make that decision for themselves. Can I say overall that public education is a sin? No. But I think we need to practice probably more discretion than we have been. This is Wretched Radio.